If you have a Bible with you today, turn with us in the book of the Revelation. We're going to look at some things that God had John to write, found in the book of the Revelation, the chapter number 21. The Revelation, chapter number 21. There's a lot of things we could talk about. But I've noticed it sure is a lot better listening to the Lord. I got a text this morning from a man that was going to preach for Brother David Monday and Tuesday night in his Jubilee. Brother David said that the pastor had to cancel. He pastors down in Florida. This is what he said. He said there was a young man, 27 years old, that died in their church. Death is no respecter of person. I've stood in this pulpit way too many times in 20 years, speaking over people that had no inclination that God would call them home. This morning, what I'm fixing to read, God spoke very little about. Matter of fact, He spoke more about hell than He did heaven. And I guess maybe the reason is when we get there, there'll be no questions. For God will show it all to us. But I'm glad what this Bible says about hell, Brother Mark, is all I'll ever know about it. He said, ain't no use in me telling you what you're going to know. I'm going to enlighten you on some things that you'll never have to know about. I'm glad He took my place so I won't have to die and go to hell. John's an older man now. He's on the Isle of Patmos. You know, while he's exiled for doing right. I'm going to tell you what, living for Jesus a lot of times will make you feel alone. But He said, I heard behind me a voice of many waters. And He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank God, when we're alone, we're not alone. And so He said, and I saw a new heaven. Because the devil messed the first one up. He has to make another. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Burn up. Resolved as by fire. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, Write, for these words are truthful in saying. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. I'm glad this is in there. And I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of the water of life freely. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time together. Oh Lord, how you've blessed us in this place. Lord, I'm more convinced this morning where you said without you we could do nothing. Men. Now, I want to preach this morning out of this passage of Revelation 21 on this thought. Heaven will fix it all. Heaven will fix it all. There's been some folks said, well, there is no God. Well, if there was no God, then there would be no devil. It don't take you long to look around that there is a devil. So you gotta know there is a God. Matter of fact, this Bible said He put in you the light of conscience in Romans chapter 1 to know that in you there is a God. Number two, He gave you not only the light of conscience, but He gave you the light of creation, realizing all of this just did not happen so that every man would stand before God without excuse. There'll be no one stand before the judgment bar of God that can give an excuse why they're not going to heaven. Somebody said this, preacher, if God is a God of love, why does He put people in hell? You put your own self in hell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God don't put sinners in hell. Sinners put them own selves in hell. God's provided for me and you one way to get to His world. And if we deny the access to that way, then hell will be our home. For the Bible said that He created hell for the devil and his angels. If you die and go to hell, and you will without Jesus, you'll go as an intruder. But this morning, aren't you glad the older we get in the Lord, we realize that heaven will fix it all. When you get up in the mornings and you're filled with hurts, you're filled with doubts, and you're filled with what the real world brings, aren't you glad heaven will fix it all for those of us that are saved by the grace of God? Now, first of all, I want you to notice in this text the place we will stay. I'm glad God gave us just a little glimpse about heaven. You'll notice in verse number 11, the Bible said about this place in Revelation 21, there is the great splendor of it. heaven is a beautiful place. He said in verse number 11, having the glory of God and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. Well, it had a wall high and great. It had 12 gates, and the 12 gates, there were angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, there was 3 gates. And on the north, there was 3. And on the south, there was 3. And on the west, there were 3. There's 12 gates there, and there's 3 pointing to all directions of this old world, letting everybody know that there's access at the gate. Aren't you glad that in the grace of God, Brother Jake, He turned His grace to all 4 points of the world and offered them access to His heaven. And then we see the Bible said, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations and 14, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, first of all, there's the splendor of this city. The Bible said that there is a street of gold. He didn't talk about streets, but He said in verse 21, and the street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. I like what one of the old commentators said. Said all the gold in this world is where they just simply swept off the street of glory. Honey, you hadn't seen gold yet. And so we see the splendor of it. But in verse 14, there's the stability of it. He said the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. I'm glad that I go into a place that has stability. Isn't it amazing, Brother Nathan, the children that are raised in homes that have no stability? I thank God for mom and daddies that will raise their babies in a fundamental gospel preaching Bible church. Thank God for the stability in our life. And I'm going to tell you, this world is unstable, but there is stability in the Word of God. I'm glad I'm going to a place that's fairer than day that has great stability. You ladies in a home, you know what you're really looking for is stability. Something that is sure and stable. And you've been looking for it in all the wrong places. Only Jesus brings stability. A lot of you men, you're looking for stability and you're looking at it in things and trying to get there. But honey, I'll remind you, this Bible says it's all going to be burned slap up one of these days. And there's only stability in the Word of God. Now there is the splendor of it, there's the security of it, but you'll notice also there is the safety of it. Now it's going to be a safe place. I don't like the dark. Laugh if you want to. I like what my little grandboy says, said outside, he said, Pop, I ain't going out there, it's pooky out there. Amen. Let me tell you, it's pooky in the dark. I don't like the dark. Somebody say, that's why they got Rayovacs to shine in the dark. I don't like the dark. And so, there's the security of it. The Bible said in verse number 12 that it had a wall great and high. Had 12 gates. And then you'll notice also that in a verse number 25, the Bible said, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. Then there's the size of it. How big is heaven? You ever wondered how big heaven is? Look at it in verse 15. And he that taught with me had a golden reed to measure the city. Why is it a city? Because people live there. And the gates thereof and the wall, now watch, the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. It's a cube. And he measured the city with a reed. 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, you think about it. The size of this city, he gives us dimensions. And I want to ask you something this morning. When God gave us dimensions, that's very small according big as this universe. The Bible says, few be there that find it. You see, there'll be no empty chairs in heaven. God knows exactly what size it needs to be. And therefore, the place we will stay, there's the splendor of it, the stability of it, the security of it, and the size of it. Verse 21, there was the street of it. It was pure gold. But in verse 22, there was the sanctuary of it. He said, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Hey, we going to church, friend. Don't let this little quiet church service tear your nerves up. Because when we get to heaven, don't you think it's going to be a quiet side and a loud side? Honey, it's going to be thousands of thousands crying, Hosanna to the highest, our Lord God Almighty. I'm glad that He reigns this morning, and heaven will be a loud place. The temple of it. It's involved of worship. Can you imagine we worship Him in a glorified body? The Lamb will be there, and there's the sanctuary of it. And then in verse 17, there's a sufficiency of it. He measured the wall thereof, and it was 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And then he said this in verse 23, and the city, look, had no power bill there, Brother Mark. Brother Mark won't have to be called out to no storms there, friend. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What great light we'll see in that city. There'll be no night there. No darkness. Never be no good nights. Never be no good mornings. It will be fairer than the day. Jesus will be the light of it. And then in verse 27, there's the sanctity of it. Look what he says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, I'm not going to go into a big theological debate about when my name got put there. But I'll tell you this, I know it's there. You say, how you know it's there? Because I trusted Jesus with all of my sin. Some boy said from the foundation of the world, but I want to remind you this, He's a balanced God. The Bible teaches about the foreknowledge of God. God can foresee things that we can never see. I believe in the simplicity of things. God foreseen Ken Bowman that in 1981 he would accept his darling son, and therefore my name was written down in the Lamb's book of life. I'll never forget when Megan and Macy were little children, we won a trip. We went way to Colorado and got there. And the innkeeper greeted me and he looked at my name. He said, sir, your name is not on this register. I said, it had to been on the register. Said, I sent it ahead and they said I've got it. He said, sir, we make no mistakes. You're not staying here. But oh, I'm so glad, Brother Rodney, when I get there and the Lamb's Book of Life is open. I don't know if they numbered. I don't know how many's wrote down there. But I know one thing, he ain't going to have to go to the index and look for the Bowmans. He'll find my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's how I get in, because my name's down. Now, how'd I get my name down? It's only one way. I trusted His Son. God, with His eternal pen, wrote my name down. Glorified ink. Can't erase it. Can't. You ever wrote something down and she washed it? And you pulled it out and said, it washed out. I don't know what it said. I'm glad that Lamb's Book of Life has stood the storms of time, friend. And I'm glad that I know. Isn't it amazing that the Bible wrote, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. I was raised in a church that said if you'll do good and live good, and when you get to heaven, maybe your good will outweigh its bad. But I'll remind you, the Bible says this, there's none good, no, not one. Me and Brother Mike this week seen two men dressed very nice, Brother David. They had on their ties and their white shirts, and they had their little get-togethers in their briefcase, and they're trying to work their way into heaven. But I'll remind you this morning, nobody goes to heaven except the blood of His darling Son. For without the shedding of blood, there is no cleansing. I thank God one day when Jesus hung on the cross, He hung and died and cried and said, it's finished. And all those that will come unto me, I will give unto them eternal life. Oh, I'm so glad my name. Can I ask you something just as a country preacher? Renee, I'd rather do what I'm doing this morning than to run every organization in America. But I want to ask y'all something today just as a country preacher. Is your name wrote down? Because if it ain't wrote down, you ain't going. And you can sell everything you got and give it to the poor. You can work your finger to the bone. You can wear your dress to the ground. You can wear the nicest suit and the nicest tie and die and go to hell in your sin. But Jesus said, all those that's thirsty, they'll just come to me. I let them drink of something they've never drank to. There's a woman met Jesus at the well one day and she is thirsty. He said, would you like a drink of water? She says, you got nothing to draw with. He said, if you knowed who you was talking to, I'd give unto you a well of water springing up. Into life everlasting. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't ask you this question this morning. Is your name written down? I won't fuss with you about when it got put in there, but I'll fuss with you about it being in there. Because I know that I know. My name is written. Brother Ken, let me ask you something. How did your name get written down? Can I just tell you what happened to me and then give you an invitation? Could I do that? Be all right. I was raised in one of the best homes in America. Country home. By one of the best mom and daddies a man could ever have. I had a daddy at work. And I had a daddy that'd tear your hide up if you needed it. And if you didn't need it, he'd put a few in the bank. Somebody say amen. I was raised in church all my life, the deadest, most boring place a man could ever be. I moved to Bowden, Georgia and met Miss Renee, and she had been saved as a young girl. Going to a little old church behind the church, probably 4 miles where the crow flies behind this church. There's an old man. I went there and got to hearing him preach. Brother Adam wasn't long. He come to my house. Thank God we got a missionary-minded God. We got a man in our service this morning going to the Midwest, one of the deadest places in America, to try to lead somebody to Jesus. I'm glad there was an old man come to my trailer on a Saturday morning. I didn't have nothing to offer God. I had nothing. All I had was a habit that I'm not proud of this morning. That old man of God, the Germans had shot his legs out from under him, and he walked in my house with that limp. I'll never forget the way he just sort of waddled the way he walked. He walked in, I love him. I was gone out of the country when he died. I'd have loved to whip by his little casket, just kissed his casket. I can tell you where I was sitting. He looked at me, and that's what he said. He scared me to death. Brother Steve, I'd never had a man scared me like this man scared me. But find out, Brother Lee, it wasn't this man scaring me. It was God on this man. And this is what he's saying. Are you saved? And when he said that, it went in me like somebody had poured gas down my throat. The Holy Ghost set me afire under conviction. I was scared to death. Nobody never asked me, was I saved? He didn't have to tell me that I was ugly and wicked. I knew all that. But I never had nobody ask me, was I saved? And he left the greatest day in my life. God stayed. I don't know what Renee cooked. It couldn't be much. We didn't have much. I can tell you, she had a little gas oven in that trailer that'd make the candles melt in July. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about you youngers don't know how good you got it. We'd go to the movie just to get an air conditioner. Somebody say amen. Get an orange drink and a buttered popcorn. Don't know what she cooked, but I can tell you this. When I woke up that next morning, Brother David, just like that old man had just left the yard. Nothing got better, just got worse. I went to church that morning. I sat where my son-in-law was sitting. And something had happened to me the day before. It never happened to me. I'd been around preaching all my life. Raised in the best home man could be raised in. But I never got lost. But that Saturday, Brother Vince, I got lost. And I found this out. When you get lost, you can be found. And this is what I've done. Nobody knowed it. But being me and the Lord. Brother Joe, I couldn't no more tell you what he preached than nothing. Because I'd done heard the sermon. I'd heard enough preaching, Brother Mike, to know this. If I'd just come to Jesus. Brother Jake, I didn't understand a lot of stuff about church. I'd been in it all my life, but all I know is so boring. I just didn't like it. They all stood up. And when they all stood up, I don't care what anybody said, I had a decision to make. The Bible says, as many as received him, them he gave power to become the sons of God. When they stood up and they give that altar call, this is what I've done. With my foot come out of that pew. I said, Lord, save me. And he did. I've made mistakes. But I found out David knew what he was writing about. He said, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The old man baptized me. What'd that do? It's just a testimony to the community that I'd been saved. Trusted Jesus. I said, that water didn't wash away no sin. That water didn't do nothing. But it gave a public testimony to a community that I'd trusted Jesus as my Savior. Now, I want to ask you something now. Brother Jake and him was supposed to come and sing a song. I want them to sing that. God got stirring my heart when they sung it. There's some of you here that you've never been saved. But you can be. If you're tired of having what you've got. If you've got lost, you can get saved. What's that mean? If you've realized you can't get to heaven by yourself, and you know you don't have a peace in you that passes all understanding. Only Jesus can give you a place, and only Jesus can give you peace. It'd be a great morning to be sure that you know that you know. You say, preacher, if I'd really come, well, the Bible says, if anybody's athirst, let them come. Are you thirsty? Has the Holy Spirit shook your heart and said, that's right? That's right. Listen to what he said. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. You don't get there without Jesus. As many as received, has there ever been a time that you got lost? Number two, has it ever been a time that you came by faith and accepted Christ as your Savior? You say, preacher, I'm saved. All right, tell me where you got lost. Tell me when you come to Christ. The invitation's yours this morning. I think the devil tricks a lot of people and says, well, number one, you got time. You may not. And then he'll tell people, what will people think? I can tell you what God's people think. Glory. I don't care what any liberal teacher or preacher tell you today. This King James Bible is still right and it'll always be right. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And the only way you getting out of hell and go to heaven is to trust His Son. That's the only way you're going. You're not going no other way. The Bible talks about us repenting of our sins and turning unto Christ. You know what that repentance word means? It means turning around and walking the other way. Are you tired of walking the way you've been walking? Won't you trust Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you something. This is what amazes me. This amazes me right here, Brother Jerry. He loves us. He didn't come and die for you because He hates you. He come and died for you because He loves you. Come on, fellas. Sister LaFonda. Miss Sherry, if you all would be so kind. I want you to sing this song. Now, this is... God's led me even in another direction on this outline. I can't even finish it. But I want to tell you this, heaven will fix it all. And I want to tell you this, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you are. If you want to be saved this morning, God will save you if you'll come to Him by His Son. Well, preacher, I want to ask you something. How do I get saved? This way you get saved. You step out by faith unto God by Christ and say, God, I'm trusting Your Son Jesus to save me. Lord, forgive me of my sins and come in my life. Give me that peace that only You can give me. And He'll save you this morning.